Good morning. My name is Reverend Randall Massengill. I'm the pastor at Lafayette First United Methodist Church. We are located at 301 South Main Street in Lafayette, Georgia. Our worship services are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship with you.
One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields. And as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And Jesus said to them, "Have you ever read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God, where Abiathar was high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for human beings, and not human beings for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" Again, Jesus entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. The Pharisees watched him to see whether Jesus would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And Jesus said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" And they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. These are the words of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Almighty God, it is our will to live our life in such a way that brings eternal life, that points beyond ourselves to the source of life, who is love. We pray, O Lord, that you would help us to love ever deep, as we have sung as children, deep and wide. Deep and wide, there's a river flowing, deep and wide. May that be said of your love of us today and our love for one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was watching the royal wedding, not as it was happening, because I didn't feel the need to get up at 4 a.m., and to watch a wedding. So I watched it on Georgia Public TV when they showed it again. They showed it during the afternoon. And one of the things that I kept hearing the announcer say time and time again, things like this just doesn't happen. They kept saying that. And I began wondering, why do they keep saying that? They kept saying that about how people were dressed. And they kept saying, things like this just doesn't happen. They talked about the procession. They talked about how everything was going on. And they kept saying, things like this just doesn't happen. And I thought for a moment, well, of course, things like this just doesn't happen. That's why they planned it this way. But then something occurred to me that I'm not sure I ever thought about. It happened that way because the people did what they were asked. And all of a sudden, a light bulb went on. We will what is to be. Because if we do not will what is to be, then things just don't always happen and can't always happen that way. Obedience isn't something that just happens. Have you ever obeyed without knowing that you were obeying? Did you obey on mistake or have you ever mistakenly obeyed? Does that even make any sense? You obey intentionally. And I thought, you know, sometimes I hear about things being planned, how unspiritual it is. But planning things and carrying them out in obedience is a very powerful thing, because things like that just doesn't happen. Man, you can learn a lot watching a royal wedding. I don't think I'd ever had that thought before. When Jesus called his disciples to follow him, I'm not sure that they knew what they would have to intentionally do. I don't know that they knew what they were in for. Whenever Jesus calls us to follow him, one of the things he wants us to do is to accept his love for us. And that can be very difficult, especially if you and I do not always believe that we are lovable. Well, there's a reason we may believe that, because we're not always lovable. Yet, when we understand that God's love for us is greater than our own sin, that's greater than any law, then brothers and sisters, you and I can begin starting to believe that and to live that and to accept that. God not only got in deep when he created you and me to love us until the end, he has called you and me to love one another, and as we do that, he will lead us deeper into caring and loving one another. For example, I bring you to that time in your life when you stood before the altar with your bride or your groom. Mary and I knew each other 3 months, 90 days. 90 days. And when my pastor of 35 years, who stayed at Graysville United Methodist Church in the Holston Conference, he was an elder, also a local pastor. Someone once asked him, Virgil, he was a barber, he was there when the Scopes Monkey Trial started. He said, how did you stay at Graysville for 35 years? And he said, I kept my nose out of everybody else's business. There's wisdom in that, isn't there? When Brother Wilkie asked me if I would take Mary as my lawfully wedded wife, that was a no-brainer. I mean, that was a now question, right? Because the now question, you answer, I do. I do. That is a present question. And then he asked me a future question. Will you love her in sickness and in health? And, you know, when he asked me that, I thought that was a no-brainer. I looked at that girl and I said, there is nothing that this little girl can do that will not make me love her. Oh, how wrong I was. I mean, at that time, there was nothing she could do to try my love for her. I mean, I just thought that every day would be a no-brainer. I would just love her with just ease. It would be so simple and easy. And I felt the same way about myself. I mean, what could I ever do to ever challenge her to love me that would take just a little bit more effort than what she already did there at the altar? And then comes to having children. Your first child. I mean, oh my gosh. You know, I mean, we just love our children and we think, you know, there's nothing that they could ever do that would ever make us not love them. And then all of a sudden they start growing up and we can't wait until they talk, and then we wish they would be quiet. And we can't wait until they get mobile, and we wish they would sit still. And then they start being attracted to people who they love, and then we start dreading that very day that we have to give them away or accept that they will be moving on. Relationships start out in a shallow place, and then as we grow with one another, go into a deeper place. Because Jesus knows that you and I aren't always lovable. You and I can do things intentionally and unintentionally that can challenge people's love for us. But one of the things that I try to remember whenever I come in contact with someone who challenges my love for them is that I have to remember that I am not always lovable. That sometimes God, even though God is love, may at times have to give me another go. Sometimes how He plans for my life to go, I rebel against Him. And sometimes I do it because I have the freedom to do so. Sometimes He wants me to say yes, and I say no. Sometimes He tells me to say no, and I say yes, knowing good and well that I should have went the other way and don't. But I'm usually the one who pays for that. And His love for me calls me back and always gives me another chance to realign if I go awry or if I end up in the ditch somewhere. Jobs can be like that. Life can be like that. There's a lot of things that can be like that. There's times when you and I are asked to go deeper, to go further in our relationship with God and with one another. When God called young Samuel in the temple, and he didn't know the voice of God, but Eli, even though his eyes were weak and the lamp was almost out in the temple, when Samuel came to him, he recognized that God was calling Samuel. And he said to Samuel, "The next time you hear it, son, say, 'Here I am, Lord. Your servant listens. Speak to me.'" And of course, Samuel, being young, didn't know what to expect. And God had a message for Eli and his sons. And the message would not be an easy one for Samuel to relay. As a result of Samuel not correcting his sons, knowing that they were doing evil, knowing that maybe they would grow out of it, or that he would just look the other way, that maybe that they would straighten up without any kind of discipline, they just kept getting worse. As a result of Eli letting it go, as a result of Eli turning his head, as a result of Eli not being who God called him to be, the lamp in the temple got darker. Eli's sight got weaker, and the voice of the Lord got more scarce. And Samuel was the one who would relay to Eli the word of the Lord. This was his mentor. This was the one who welcomed him in. Samuel would be given the message to tell Eli and his sons that they were fired. It's not something that Eli hadn't thought about. It's not something that Eli had not expected. But it was something that Samuel would have a very hard time sharing. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, love for one another means correcting. It means disciplining. And you and I can't always do that. You've heard the story of the preacher who the church wanted to leave because every time he got up in the pulpit, he told everybody they were going to hell. And they wrote their district superintendent and said, "This guy's got to go." So they moved him and put in another one. And they said, "Well, how do you like your new pastor?" And they said, Well, we love him. And the district superintendent says, well, why does he preach? And he says, he tells us we're going to hell every Sunday. And he said, well, I thought that's what the other one did. And you wanted rid of him. And he said, they said, yeah, but when he preached it, he smiled. He said, but when this other one says it, he weeps. Discipline and correction, brothers and sisters, is also a form of love. And if you and I believe that you and I love one another in Christ, whatever correction may come or whatever discipline may come about, if we can see Christ in it, we can receive it. We can absorb it. We can allow it to transform and change our lives. But if we don't believe that it comes out of love, if we think that it's just someone trying to tell us what to do and trying to use their power and authority over us to benefit themselves, and if they are, then we shouldn't do it. But if they're not and we're mistaking, then we need to ask God to give us discernment. We need God to ask Him to help our spirits bear witness with what someone is sharing with us. That if we are going awry in our direction of following Christ, we need to be made aware of what we are doing. I'm very proud that this church does many, many things that is in line with what we are to be doing. I pray that as God continues to show us what else we can do, that some of the things that we may hear may sound strange. We may have never done them before. That as we begin hearing about these things, that we would begin to pray about them and ask God to lead us in these ways and to ask Him, is this the way we are to go? And to pray and to ask Him if this is the leading of the Spirit. We do not want to change for change's sake, but we do want to go in a direction that maybe we haven't gone before if it helps win people to Jesus Christ. There are some things, brothers and sisters, that we are going to have to do outside the church to bring people inside the church. Amen. I would like for you all to just think for a moment this coming week. I don't ask you to receive it and to believe it right off the bat. I hope that you will question anything that is said from this pulpit. Look the scriptures, search the scriptures until you are made aware of it. Whenever the light is on in here, there is a light missing in our world. But whenever the light is out in this place, then the light is out, entering into the world. The world isn't that dark. When the light is out in here, that means the light is out in the congregation of the world. Brothers and sisters, I want to share with you two things that I ask you to pray about. Ministers are coming up with this idea of finding restaurants to go to and inviting people to go there and eat. Why? Because people have stopped coming and eating at the church. So now, where do we go and where do we eat? We can still eat at the church, but how do we reach people who may not eat at the church? John Brantley, who's at Rock Spring, has something called Pizza and the Pastor. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Pizza and the Pastor. He invites church people to bring people who are not in a church to the pizzeria and to have pizza with the pastor and to have conversation with about the Methodist Church. Isn't that an interesting idea? Everybody comes, Dutch treat. Then there's another idea where the pastor invites people to a particular restaurant and they all show up at the restaurant, also members as well as non-members, and we sit there and we eat bread. And we fellowship. People who may not come into the church to eat, but may go to their family restaurant and eat. And you and I may go, well, that sounds silly. Or, why in the world would we do something like that? I mean, preacher, that just doesn't make a lot of sense. I hear you. I'm with you. But I ask you, brothers and sisters, if it would bring one in, if it would lead people to this place, if it would lead people to a relationship with Jesus, would you be willing to do it? Is it something we've always done? No. Might we find a struggle in doing it? Sure. But is it possible? Yes. Is it probable? May we pray and seek the leading of the Holy Spirit in that. Amen? Amen. Amen.
May the Lord go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, beneath you to lift you from your sorrows, within you to give you the gifts of faith, hope, and love, and always before you to show you the way. Amen.